Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 129, Interview with Goff. Based in Australia, Goff is the world's first blind filmmaker, and in this episode of Getting Work to Work, we talk about the work he's done with his production company, Beer Nuts Productions, online at beernutsproductions.com, and how he gets his work to work, his comedic and filmmaking heroes, how he funds his projects, and what his plans for 2018 are. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/129. Getting Work to Work is brought to you by Chris Martin Studios, a media production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness through video, podcasts, and design for those who dare to build a better world. Keep in touch with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at gwtw.co/129. By doing so, you'll receive inspiration on Mondays and Fridays with ways to increase your creativity, curiosity, and wonder. All right, you ready for this interview with Goff? Let's get into it. Goff, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little about what you do?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on, Chris. It's a cool podcast, so I'm happy to be on it. But I run Beer Nuts Productions, which is a film production company here in Australia. We've done 14 films, we've done 8 audio downloads, and I've written 5 books as well. So we just punch out the entertainment for the good folks of the world, you know.
Yeah, speaking of entertainment, I couldn't help but watch your world's greatest fart joke video.
I hope it gave you a laugh.
It gave me a good laugh, and it actually reminded me of Monty Python.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I love Python. When I grew up, I mean, as a young guy, I probably shouldn't have been watching Monty Python at, you know, 8, 9, 10 years of age, but I was. And because it's also, I mean, it's funny, actually, because watching it as an adult now, you know, you get the jokes that you didn't get back then. Like back then, you're laughing at silly things. Like I remember there's a great sketch of John Cleese teaching people how to defend themselves against attackers with pieces of fruit. And so when a guy comes at him with a banana, he gets out a gun and just shoots him. And so like as a kid, that's hilarious. He just shot a guy. It's hilarious. But as an adult, you sort of see the absurdity and you get the other parts of the joke as well. But, you know, the world's greatest fart joke, that's a free clip that people can watch on YouTube and also through the Beer Nuts Productions website. And it's, it was a lot of fun to do. It was the first time I got to play with explosives. We actually, blew some stuff up. And, it was a lot of fun, I got to say. I kind of want to blow up more stuff now. It was a lot of fun to do that little clip.
So were you blowing up miniatures, or is that an actual, you know, man-sized tent there?
No, that's for real, man. So we actually, it's a quite a funny story. So I've gone to a local like camping supply store, because when people watch it, they'll see we blow up a couple of camping tents. But and I've gone to the guy, I've said, look, I need to buy a couple of tents. And he said, we've got this great one over here. It's like $180. It's, you know, got all this insulation, and it's all really great and fantastic. I said, listen, buddy, you know, I'm from Beer Nuts Productions. We're going out to a property and we're going to blow it up. So he goes, oh, well, in that case, we've got these tents over here for like $29. I said, sold. So I bought a couple of them. We've gone up to, because the guys that did the pyrotechnics for me, they've got this massive piece of land out in the sticks in Toowoomba, which is about a 2-hour drive west of where I am, because obviously with workplace health and safety and also, you know, council permits and all that kind of stuff, you can't be blowing stuff up like that in suburban areas. So we got this big piece of land, and he said, how big do you want the fireball? I said, mate, I want it to be as big as those trees over there, as big as you can make it. And so he's like, okay. He was really excited. He's like, yeah, man, I can do that. Blowing stuff up is his full-time job. So he was really pumped. And yeah, so we did one. And then he's like, yeah, I reckon that explosion can be bigger. I said, okay, then. So he doubled the charge. And the one that you see is the one where we doubled the charge. And it's the bigger explosion. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to do that. So yeah, a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So you go by the name Goff. What's the story behind your name?
Okay, well, yeah, there's a band in Australia called the Whitlams, who were very sort of independent music band. And they're named after Gough Whitlam, who is a former Prime Minister of Australia. And so when all my mates were at university, I didn't go to university, I was working, but when all my mates went to university, I would go up there on the, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, and I would just play Whitlam CDs at like 4 or 5 in the morning when we get home from the pub. And so people knew when I was in town because they just hear Whitlam's music blasting through the corridors of the university campus. So people just started calling me Goff as a nickname, as a, you know, reference to the band, and it just sort of stuck. So when I started up Beer Nuts Productions, I thought, well, we'll just go with Goff as a one word name, like Madonna, you know, something a bit fun and out there.
What's the story behind Beer Nuts?
Oh, well, I figure people can drink a beer, eat some nuts, and enjoy my work. You know, it's all about entertainment and having fun.
That's awesome. So you are legally blind and a filmmaker. Yep. That is both inspirational and unbelievable. How is that possible?
Well, I write the scripts myself, so I know how I want my films to look and sound and feel and all that kind of stuff. And then it's just up to me to be able to convey my vision to my cast and crew. So just making sure that I'm really clear with my instructions of what I want. And yeah, and just hoping that they don't go rogue on me and start doing their own thing pretty much. But yeah, no. So look, it's it sort of works just like any other film production. You know, when it's time to get the cast in, I contact the agents, we do auditions, we hire the actors that we need, and then like with the fart joke video that you saw, I had to get some pyrotechnic guys in. So I explained to them basically, you know, what we're doing, and they, yep, we can do that. And so I'm just really clear with my instructions. So where people probably, you know, other filmmakers probably are a little bit more loose, I'm very much more strict with my instructions and what I'm telling people, because I need them to understand precisely the vision that I've got in my head. That needs to come out onto the screen. So I've got to be really precise in my instructions. But yeah, that's pretty much how it rolls.
That's really cool. What is it about filmmaking that captures your interest and your passion to push forward through all your projects?
Even as a kid, I was, you know, writing scripts and plays and little books and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I just love entertaining people, and I loved writing. And so when I got into my early 20s, I thought, well, it's about time I turned all of this passion and work into my full-time job. So I started up Beer Nuts Productions and just and got underway and just got it happening. But yeah, no, I've always loved storytelling and, you know, entertaining people. That's always been a passion ever since I was a little kid. And like we talked about earlier, I mean, I've been a comedy nerd for as long as I can remember, and, you know, have always been loving, you know, Monty Python and old British comedians and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I just really love entertainment and entertaining people and making people laugh.
That's really cool. I love the emphasis that you place on writing. And I saw somewhere else that you really talked about sound design and the importance of the non-visual components of filmmaking. How does being blind change how you approach the non-visual components of filmmaking, like sound and music and writing?
Yeah, well, again, like I write the script, so I know exactly what I want. And I think that, you know, not being able to see does have its advantages in some ways. So like when I'm writing my script, I've got the dialogue, like the characters are really clear in my head with what they're saying. So then when it's time to direct my actors, you know, I really focus on the tones and inflections of their voice to make sure that what they're saying sounds really believable, because I can't really see their facial expressions at all. So my sighted guide, Simon, he'll say to me after we shoot something, yep, you're getting the facial expressions are really good. You're getting what you want on that side of things. And so I know that, okay, well, the delivery of the lines was perfect. That's what I was after. and so we can move on to the next scene. So in that regard, I think it helps a lot because, you know, I'm not being distracted by things that I don't have to worry about or I don't have to think about. You know, I'm focusing purely on, you know, my actors and the delivery of their lines. You know, I hire, you know, my crew to do the job that I'm hiring them to do. So I trust that they're going to shoot the shot how I've explained to them. So being blind does have its advantages in that regard, that I'm not, yeah, focusing on things that don't matter, just what really, really matters. And I think at the end of the day, if you watch a film and the acting isn't believable, I mean, it takes you right out of the film, you know. So, or if the writing isn't very good, or if the direction of the actors isn't very good or whatever, then, you know, you lose all interest in the film. So it does help me sort of focus in a way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about sound? I mean, I imagine that there are some amazing sound designers that just capture your interest.
Yeah, well, again, I annoy poor Simon, who helps me with my editing. I annoy him terribly because my hearing is very, very good. So when we're editing, if there's like a tongue click or a little pop or there's a little bit of a hum in the background from, you know, one of the microphones that we need to play with, like he'll say to me, man, nobody is going to notice that. I'm like, well, I notice it, so let's get rid of it. And it just drives him insane because he's like, oh, you know, we're forever stopping to fix up little sound glitches and stuff. And when we're filming, again, I always make sure I've got a set of headphones on so that I can hear the sound nice and clearly. And again, if there's anything in the background at all, then I'm all over that. And yeah, it gives everybody the shits. But I mean, it's just, you got to have it nice and people got to be able to hear the dialogue, man. You know, it just so, my hearing is very, very good. So in that regard, it does help a lot, I think.
Who are some of your filmmaking heroes?
I know he's a reasonably controversial figure, but I really love Woody Allen as a writer. I think his dialogue is just spectacular. I love Quentin Tarantino. I think, again, it's all about dialogue for me because, I mean, I'm not, you know, big Hollywood action films aren't really my go for obvious reasons. So I focus, again, more on the dialogue and stuff. So when there's really witty dialogue, like, you know, Woody Allen can do and Tarantino can do, I'm just immediately drawn to that kind of stuff, you know, great writers like that, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that I really enjoy, and really dark, like when you think of Tarantino, it's usually really dark kind of stuff, which I really enjoy too. Something a little bit twisted is always good, I reckon. So I really enjoy that. But I don't usually go to a film because of who wrote it and directed it. You know, I always look it up because, again, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I always like to do my research on stuff. But, I watch the trailers of films, and then, you know, if they catch my interest, I'll check them out. But, that's not who made the film isn't really forefront of my mind when I go and watch something. But even Frank Oz, I mean, I think he's a very, very funny man and a really underrated writer and director. I mean, he's done some incredible stuff. Very, very few stuff, but he's done... The stuff he's done has been first class, you know, so I really enjoy his work too.
Well, and it's interesting too, because a lot of the directors that you're mentioning in their work, they definitely have comedy underlying a lot of their work. So even though Tarantino is rather twisted, he does write some very funny stuff.
Yeah, you look at Pulp Fiction. I mean, everybody's seen Pulp Fiction, so it's a great example. I mean, you've got Samuel L. Jackson in a car talking to John Travolta, and they're talking about foot massages for like 5 minutes. And usually that would be the most boring piece of cinema you could ever imagine. But it's hilarious. The way it's delivered and the way it's written and the way they do it is just beautiful. You know, it's so great. You know, usually... And there's other conversations in that which just go on and on, which shouldn't be entertaining, and yet they're fantastic, you know. So I think that's it's a real skill, and it's something that I really enjoy when I go and watch a film is just really – I mean, I actually went to go see a film the other day in the cinema, which is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri with Sam Rockwell, and that was done by the guy that did Seven Psychopaths and In Bruges, for those that enjoyed those two films, which I did. I thought they were really, really funny, twisted, dark, crazy films. And yeah, three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri is exactly the same. It is totally whacked, but it is just funny. It is so wrong, but just so funny, you know? So I really enjoy that's a, it's a film I saw just last weekend. That's why it's fresh in my brain. But yeah, I really enjoyed that film for that reason. The dialogue is just so bad. Like, it's so good, you know?
How does a movie like that that inspires you so much, how do you find that enters into your work when you sit down to write the next piece?
That's a really good question. I think yeah, you can't help but when you see something like that that's really, you know, sick and twisted, it's sort of because that's sort of my sort of style a little bit as well. I sort of like that kind of style. And so it sort of gives me permission to be able to push my stuff to the next level as well. I'm going, well, if they can do that, then I can do it too, you know? So it kind of, in a way, it sort of gives me permission to be a bit more free with what I do. So because I like to push the limits as far as I can. I mean, my budgets aren't huge, so I can't afford to have, you know, big stunt sequences and all that kind of stuff. So I got to sort of push the limits in my dialogue and in the other way that I do stuff. So it sort of just inspires me to know that, okay, well, there's other people that are having success doing this sort of a dark comedy film. So if they're having success, then I can have success. So that, I guess that's how it sort of inspires me.
Interesting. You mentioned permission. Did you ever feel like you had to get permission to be a filmmaker, or did you just go for it?
Well, yeah, that's a, it's an interesting question as well. Yeah, I've never been asked that, but I suppose when you have a disability, you miss out on a lot, you know, and you forever, you know, you need help with certain tasks that you just can't do for, you know, it's no fault of yours. It's just, you know, if you're in a wheelchair, you can't reach the top shelf. You need someone to help you reach the top shelf. I mean, that's just how it goes. And the same when you're blind. I mean, I can't drive, for example, you know. And that there's plenty of other things that, you know, I struggle to do. But there's a part of you when that's the case, that when there is something that you can do, you want to do it and you want to do it with everything that you've got. So when it came to my work, I knew that I could write, I knew that I could make really entertaining films. So I just went for it. I just went 100% full on, you know, because I did for a couple of years was sending scripts out to production companies and distributors. And they just didn't understand how a blind guy was going to make a film. They didn't get it. I guess in a way, that's sort of asking permission because I'm like, will you fund my project? And they're all going, no. So they're not giving me permission to do my work. And so I sort of got jack of that and thought, well, that's not good enough. That's not acceptable. I want to do what I want to do. I shouldn't be stopped in doing what I want to do. So I thought, well, I'm not going to contact them anymore. I'll just do it myself. I'll fund my own work. And I'll just produce it myself and I'll distribute it myself through the website, you know? So that's exactly what I do.
That's just awesome. I mean, when you hear that, you're just like, yes, the spirit of independent film is right there. And you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fund it myself, release it myself. And it's just that is a model of inspiration right there.
Well, I guess I never really thought of it as in asking permission, like your question. But when you think of it, it kind of is. I mean, any filmmaker, when they go to the executive and they say, hey, buddy, here's a great script. Will you give me the money to make my film? You are asking them permission, essentially, to make your film. And then when they say, no, we're not giving you the money, whether it be with my particular reason was because you're blind, we're not going to give you the money, or if they don't like your script, or whatever the reason might be, they say, no, we're not going to give you the money. It's a bit of a kick in the guts. You know what I mean? They're saying, no. We don't think you're good enough to do this. We're not giving you permission to do this. And I don't like that attitude, man. It's not how I roll. So, you know, so yeah, like I said, I just started up Beer Nuts Productions and thought, well, I'll just fund it and distribute it straight through the website. Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you fund your work and make a living at the same time? Is it a struggle? Is it something that comes naturally to you?
Well, yeah, no, it's not the easiest, obviously, but yeah, so like I say, so I release a film or an audio download or a book on the website. People download that off the website, and then the profits that I've made from that particular project go straight into making the next project. So it's kind of like the circle of life, Hakuna Matata, you know what I mean? So It just keeps going. So if I don't get any downloads, then I can't make the next film. So that's why obviously I encourage everybody to hit up beernutsproductions.com and download something and get themselves entertained by my work, because then I can make more work and entertain you with more stuff. So, you know, everybody wins. So it's like everybody's kicked a goal. So, you know, it's really important that, you know, obviously I want people to enjoy my work, which, you know, I've had really good reviews. People seem to really love what I do. So, you know, hopefully people go there, they download something, and then they think that's really great, and they download something else, you know. So that's the goal at the moment. Like I say, we've got 14 films up there for people to enjoy. So there's plenty of different stuff up there for them to download and hopefully enjoy.
Yeah. What's been your favorite project that you've done of the 14 films?
Well, the very last one we did is a mockumentary called The Environment, The Real Truth, where we sort of take the subject of the environment and just rip it to shreds. So I interview like a park ranger and a conservationist and a couple of different scientists. And yeah, we just do a fun little mockumentary. It goes for about 25 minutes. And yeah, it's all about the environment and just sort of taking the piss out of both sides, out of both the hippies and the climate change people, but also, you know, the deniers and all that sort of stuff. Because I always think that if you're going to make fun of one side, you have to make fun of everybody. You got to be fair in this world. You know what I mean? So if we're going to make fun of one thing, we've got to make fun of everything. So that's the last film I did was, yeah, The Environment, The Real Truth, where we're dropping nothing but truth bombs about the environment. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about the documentary you made.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was the very first film I did. It's called I Will Not Go Quietly, and it's the only serious piece of work that's really on the website. And it's a full 90-minute feature film documentary all about disability and mental health. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, especially in Australia, a lot of people that have disabilities then go on to have some kind of mental health struggle. And that's due to the fact of the discrimination that they've suffered, you know, being denied education, denied employment, you know, being told no, they can't all the time. I mean, it can cripple your self-worth and your self-esteem and your self-confidence. So a lot of people that have disabilities in Australia then go on to have depression and other mental health problems. So I made that documentary basically due to my own frustrations of people not understanding what I can and can't do, which is sort of like what we discussed earlier. And so I thought, well, the best way to show you that I can actually make a film is to make a full-length 90-minute doco all about disability and mental health to try and sort of educate you a little bit. And so I thought the best way to do that is use my own story as a template and then we've interviewed 24 experts all in different fields. So psychologists, neurosurgeons, school teachers, even comedians to get their take, you know, because we don't want to depress people too much. So, you know, I want to keep things as light as I can. So yeah, we interviewed a bunch of experts and put it all together. And yeah, that's the documentary. And again, that can be downloaded straight through the Beer Nuts Productions website.
Yeah. Was it hard to open yourself up to that level of art and film?
Yeah, it was actually, it really was. Cause I'm not one that likes to talk about my private life and that kind of stuff. You know, I'm happy to talk about my work all day long because that's, you know, my passion and what I enjoy. But you know, I'm not one that that likes to open up about my private life. So yeah, I did find it kind of confronting and awkward, I guess would be a good way to describe it. But when I'm directing my actors, the best way to tell them how I want a joke delivered is to give them an example of how I want that joke delivered. And I think people react better to that if they have an example in front of them. So I thought, well, the best way to do that is to use my own story as a template. And then, like I say, we get the experts with their opinions around that. So, but yeah, it wasn't the easiest or funnest thing that I've ever had to do, but it was just necessary for the project that was what needed to be done. So that's what I did.
That's awesome. And what kind of response did you get and how did it fuel you to keep making film?
Yeah, no, we actually got a really, really good response. I was really thrilled because, I mean, when you open yourself up like that, you know, it can be, you know, if people don't like it, it would be quite demoralizing, you know, but I was pretty lucky that people really enjoyed it and they learn a lot from it and they reacted well to it. And yeah, from then I was able to go on to make the other films and the audio downloads and write the books and all that sort of stuff. So it sort of gave me the, well, I don't want to say encouragement because it's what I wanted to do anyway, but it sort of gave me the spurt, I guess, that I need to say that, yes, I can actually do this by myself, you know, through the production company, through the website, and I can do it myself and people will get on there and download and all that sort of stuff. So it sort of, I guess, gave me the confidence that knowing that what I wanted to do can actually work. So yeah, in that regard, it was very good.
Yeah. So you strike me as an incredibly funny guy. And so what role does humor play in both your life and work? I mean, it's been a recurring theme throughout this interview, but I imagine that it plays a crucial role in every part of your life.
Oh, well, absolutely. Most of my projects are comedy based because I think it's important to give people a laugh. Because I mean, I was chatting to a mate of mine the other day and, you know, he's like, do you watch the news? And I'm like, no, I couldn't think of anything worse than sitting down and watching the 6 o'clock news. I mean, it's depressing. People are killing each other and robbing each other and all sorts of horrible things are going on, you know? So it's important then that, you know, people can go somewhere and they can get a laugh and they can forget about whatever problems they're facing in the world, you know? So it doesn't matter if your wife left you and you've got no money, you can sit down and watch a Beer Nuts Productions film and hopefully it takes your mind off all of that for, you know, 20 minutes and I can give you a bit of a laugh and life doesn't seem so bad all of a sudden, you know? So it's really important to make people laugh and to entertain folks. So to answer your question, that's sort of the role it plays is just my passion for entertaining and making people laugh and having a good time, you know? Because after all, mate, we're only here for a short time, not a long time, so you may as well enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. So what do you find the most joy in apart from filmmaking, of course?
Well, like I said earlier, I'm a real nerd. So it's like I go to the films and I enjoy watching films and then I'm a real comedy nerd. So, I mean, I'll watch old comedians and that kind of stuff. So I really enjoy sort of immersing myself in film and comedy and that kind of stuff. But I guess I'm just a normal sort of a dude, I suppose. You know, I go to concerts and whatnot with my mates and I love sport. I'm mad for sport. I mean, I've got no sporting ability. Well, that's kind of funny, actually, when I think about it. I mean, I love music and going to concerts and stuff, and I love sport and going to sporting events, but I have absolutely no musical ability or no sporting ability whatsoever. So I guess I get real enjoyment out of watching people do things that I can't. But yeah, so I guess I'm in that regard, I suppose I'm just a normal lad, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you could make a soundtrack for your film and didn't have to worry about paying for the license to use the music, who would be on that soundtrack for your movie?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd get the Gallagher brothers. I love, yeah. I think they're the best. And I like them. Like I like their music because I mean, they've gone their separate ways now. I loved Oasis, but I love their own individual music as well. But I just love their attitude, you know, it just makes me giggle, man. This whole, you know, I was having a chat to a friend because they grew up on the council estates in Manchester. So like the slums of Manchester pretty much, but they walk like they owned those council estates. And I'm sure that when those lads were teenagers, they did. Nobody messed with the Gallagher boys. And when you watch them walk now, like 30 years later, they still walk that way. You know, they haven't lost where they're from. You know, they still are like they were back then. And they really and truly do not care what people think. And I love that. I think more people need to have that attitude of, this is my work. This is what I'm going to do. If you don't like it, that's fine. I really don't care. You go do what you want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I just love that. I mean, people would say it's arrogance, and I guess it kind of is, but they did Knepworth just out of London and sold 250,000 tickets for one show.
Wow.
A quarter of a million people showed up for one concert. I mean, I can't say that a quarter of a million people ever showed up for anything I ever did. You know what I mean? So you got to give the boys their credit. I mean, it's just, but I love those lads. I think they're just fantastic. So I reckon that would be my first go-to. You'd have to ask them separately because they don't speak to each other now. But I'd get Liam to do maybe the first half of the film and I'd get Noel to do the second half of the film. I reckon that'd be a pretty cool thing to do. But in Australia, there's I know that there's some really great singer-songwriters, like independent singer-songwriters, that do some wonderful soundtracks for film. I know that Paul Kelly, those of you who might live in or around Australia who are listening that know of Paul Kelly, he's done a few really cool soundtracks for films. I know that Tex Perkins has, another great Australian artist. And so I suppose there's not as much money in Australia for musicians as there is overseas with sales, I mean, for because we don't have the population, so you don't get the sales. So they've got to sort of diversify. And so a few of them do movie soundtracks, and they're really, really cool. So yeah, that's I've never been asked that before, but I reckon that's where I would go.
Nice. I imagine that if you had the Gallagher brothers soundtrack the first half and the last half, that could be a major like tonal shift in the whole film too.
Yeah, it probably would, because Liam likes his stuff a little bit more rock star. There's a hilarious story that just has me rolling on the floor, right? And I think it just sums up Liam Gallagher beautifully. On their very first tour to America, right, he's gone through customs and immigration, and on the form that you have to fill out to say what your occupation is, they've got a video because they're making a little documentary, so it's all caught on video, so it's not made up. I've actually seen the video. I'm sure if you jumped on YouTube, you could YouTube this. But so he's gone through customs and immigration, and on his form, under profession, he's written rock and roll star. And so he's given that to the dude at customs and immigration. He's looked down at that, and he says, into this room, thank you, sir. And so they take him in to be questioned. But I just love that. My profession, rock and roll star. Thank you very much. That's me. It's just fantastic.
So apart from a soundtrack, if you could work with anyone alive or dead, who would it be and why?
Well, I reckon Frank Oz would probably be number one because he's so creative and so funny. I mean, he did all the stuff with the Muppets, but then he's gone on to write and direct some really fantastic films, especially direct some really wonderful films. Such a wealth of experience too. I mean, imagine the knowledge that man would have. So I reckon he would be a really cool one to work with, to be looking over your shoulder. I reckon he'd be cool. And I mentioned him earlier. I mean, just for the dialogue alone, Woody Allen would be a really cool one to work with too. Again, there are some directors, I suppose, when you see like Martin Scorsese, when you see it's a Martin Scorsese film, you just go along because you know you're in safe hands. You know what I mean? You know that it's just going to be a quality piece of work. So yeah, maybe somebody like him would be really super as well. But I guess they'd be the directors that I would first... Oh, and Tarantino. How could I forget him? I love his work. So he'd be another interesting one. And he seems to be a really relaxed kind of guy. So I think it'd be a fun shoot on a Tarantino film.
Yeah, and who knows? He might do a Star Trek episode one day or a Star Trek movie.
maybe.
So what are your plans for this year? We're in a brand new year, slate is clean. What are you going to work on?
In 3 weeks' time, actually, we're doing another audio piece. So we've got, it's going to be another audio download. We've got 8 up there on the website already. And so we do like little audio sketches that go for about 20 minutes. And so this one is going to be like a chat show kind of a thing. So I interview 14 different guests, and they're all completely, you know, crazy and bonkers, the guests that I'm interviewing. So like, for example, I'm interviewing the world blinking champion, and I'm interviewing the last surviving woman on planet Earth to get her take on things. I'm interviewing, who else am I interviewing? I play the presenter, and I've got a bunch of actors coming in to do all the other voices for me. But yeah, so that one's going to be a lot of fun. So that one's in 3 weeks' time we're doing that. And then after that, I plan to do another film, another mockumentary, this time all about the fitness industry. So I've done the environment, now I'm onto the fitness industry, because it's a lot of fun to get a subject and just, you know, tear it apart. So,
For sure.
Yeah, so the fitness industry will be the next one for the next movie. So yeah, there's plenty going on. So so make sure that everybody hits up beernutsproductions.com and checks out all the great stuff.
Well, Goff, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share about your work with Beer Nuts and just tell stories about your work and what you're up to. And it's been a pleasure to get to know you.
Hey, look, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much for having me on, Chris. I really appreciate your time. And yeah, I hope your listeners enjoy what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm going to enjoy looking at your catalog a little bit more. And I wish you all the success in this year and can't wait to see what you do.
Thank you so much, Chris. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. Got a few moments to let me know what you think of the show? Head to Getting Work to Work on iTunes, click ratings and reviews, and either click the number of stars to rate the show or write a review. Thank you so much. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.